My question about feasibility of complementary and alternative medicine research in a community-based setting has been a thought, an idea that steeps along on its own, partly because at Kuan Yin Healing Arts Center, we have been, we're 24 years old, and where do I click, Beth?
Oh, try a left click?
Great. We're 24 years old as a nonprofit clinic, and we have engaged in research with San Francisco State University and UCSF over the last 24 years. And it's been an interesting journey. This clinic started out in response to HIV 24 years ago and has lived on and served the community both locally and nationally and internationally as a resource for many people living with HIV. And one of the things that we have really remained steady in, and that is our interest in helping the people who are underserved or uninsured over the years. So besides our clinic in the Mission at 455 Valencia, we also have 12 off-site clinics out in the community of San Francisco. All of them are integrated into other Western medical settings, social service settings, working with the homeless, residential service settings, and environments that traditionally people wouldn't have access to complementary and alternative medicine therapies. And so that in itself has been a major learning and teaching for us. Over the years, one of the things that we have experienced is that people and different organizations come to us wanting to know if we want to research their projects. Research their supplements. Do you know that this is this is not the correct PowerPoint that's on here?
Oh, okay. So, let's see. Maybe
excuse me. The stick is still in there.
Yeah, can we get out of it? Okay.
It says that it is. Oh, it's the one from last year. Okay. My apologies.
Let's see. Can we... What we did was go... Can we get back to the first page? Okay. You know, maybe we can kind of multitask as we're doing this. We'll try to get you back to where you're going, and maybe if we have questions and comments for our first two presenters, and we could start that discussion and dialogue. Okay, so let's see what we can
do. You know, if I can get my throat cleared, I'm willing to just do this without a PowerPoint overhead. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, so I'll just wing it and hope that everybody can visualize well today. Anyway, on with my story, is that yesterday, Kuan Yin Healing Arts Center was 24 years old as a community-based clinic, and over the years, we have been approached by a number of different groups to do research, and it's always a challenge for us, partly because is there enough funding and resources offered up to do such a thing? The other has been, is our patient base, or the people that we're working with who might serve as research participants, stable enough to engage? Because when you're working in a community-based setting, and we talked some about that, some of the veteran settings, I mean, can you hold people in treatment? And the issues around that for us have been, we've had to take that very, very seriously. So this last year, we were approached by two different groups to do some research. One was the University of San Francisco, and this group of folks wanted to take a look at the use of acupuncture and massage for the treatment of HIV-related neuropathy using combined modalities of acupuncture and massage over a course of 3 months, and people receiving 10 sessions of both of those therapies broken down into at least 5 of massage. So we engaged in that, and then simultaneously we were approached by a group out of South Africa known as Valencia International, who have developed an organic product based on spirulina, and they wanted to work with a well-nourished group of HIV-positive patients in this country, and the second arm of that was in Johannesburg, South Africa. We researched this company and decided that we would engage with them. And so simultaneously doing the neuropathy tip study, we went into something called the Spirozan study with a similar group of patients, all HIV positive, some with AIDS, some not, and launched these two projects. Both took place over the course of 4 months, and both had their own levels of intensity. The challenges that we faced in engaging in research on this level in the central clinic in the mission, not at the satellite clinics, had to do with the fact that the patient base had many co-occurring conditions. Many had substance abuse challenges and addiction issues. Some had formerly been homeless. Many had mental health challenges. Some people just had unstable lives, just living with a chronic illness for long periods of time. And so part of what we faced right off with that was in the recruitment. And we recruited without any distinction as far as what people's lives were, how steady they were. We advertised in our clinic because we serve over 600 HIV-positive patients a year. So we had a large group of people potentially to pull from. People self-identified as far as which study they might want to be engaged in. And then we interviewed people, did a baseline SF-36, and then as people came for both of those studies, there were follow-up health reporting type surveys that took place. And so what happened with that is that we engaged 50 people in the Spirozan, the supplement-based study, and we held 46 of those people in treatment for 4 months, and they came on a monthly basis and received 30 days of the Spirozan-based tablet. And then the other group, we initially recruited 24, and we held 13 of those people in treatment. And you would think that people who had access to 10 sessions of feel-good therapy might be held in treatment more successfully than folks who were showing up once a month to get a bag of tablets, but it was not so. The folks who were taking the tablets, they were much more ready to make their appointments and show up for treatment. Some of our challenges with that had to do with, partly it was just the financial piece, and that was having a coordinator who could continue to engage with clients. And it ended up turning into something close to case management. Clients had to be called the day before to be reminded to show up for treatments. People oftentimes no-showed. People would get sick, would miss their appointments. So there was all this like patient management issue in these two studies that became, at one point, it became so overwhelming that we just, you know, we would look around and go, what in the world are we involved in here? But we were able to hold people in those two studies clear to the end, and we ended up with an 80% average rate of holding people in treatment. Some of the questions that were raised for us as far as initially, is this feasible to do this type of work in a community-based setting had to be with, again, with adequate funding for trained staff. It was not so much the challenge of the clients understanding what their responsibilities or their commitment might be. It was working with folks with chronic illness and having people on board who could assist people in getting back into the treatment, back into the clinic, either to receive their supplements on a monthly basis or to keep their appointments for acupuncture and massage. Some of the other questions that came up for us is that, do attitudes about CAM influence the outcome? I think that it influenced the outcome for us partly because people were already clients and were engaged in treatment, so they really believed. They believed in us. They believed in the fact that it was important for them to engage in treatment. I don't know if that would actually, in a different kind of setting, be a different element for us, because one of our other questions is that could the same type of a study or these studies with the same population be reproduced in other settings? I think of course it could. I think that the challenges would be there without enough support, the support systems in place. And could the participants be retained in other settings? I honestly don't think so in many ways, because I think the dropout rate would have been tremendously much more. I mean, for us to have started with 50, recruited 50, enrolled 50 people, and held that many people in treatment was quite a feat. And because of that, I think there will be a second arm of it. We'll go into a phase two study with Valencia International on the supplement study. The lessons that we learned is that I think it's we stabilized enough as a team, and I think we strengthened in our ideas of what it is that we needed to know to be able to engage in this number of patients at one time and enter into research. So I think that being able to attract new partners is very possible for us. We managed our monies and our resources in the budget very well. We learned a lot about budgeting for studies and what we needed to actually be able to do that. And I think that in some of the conversation that we've had over the last couple of days, I think that doing research in community-based settings might be a conversation that we could engage in more in this type of setting and learn from each other. And I think that had I had a few more folks to probably to learn from before going into this, some of the pitfalls and challenges, we probably could have worked smarter with this study.